All right. Good morning, everyone. Today is February 6, 2024. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you could please all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. Moving on to today's agenda, item number three is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? A reminder, folks can use the raise your hand feature, the chat feature. If you're on a phone call, I believe it's star six to unmute yourself, and I believe star nine to raise your hand. And Jim, just to confirm, there's nobody in the courtroom?
We have Mr. Gallagher in the courtroom with us today.
All right. Hugh, you know the deal. If you have any public comment, please just walk your way up to the podium.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I know.
Thank you. All right, so on to item number four. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for February 6, 2024. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions or comments, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good to go, thank you.
Okay, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? I'll assume there is no public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number five. This is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the January 2nd, 2024 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No, thank you, sir.
Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
All good from my end. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not see any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our January 2nd, 2024 meeting as presented.
I'll second that motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
None, sir. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven. This is discussion only, no action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're gonna start off with the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sheriff Cullen for the record. I wanted to announce, actually pleased to announce that we received our second grant from the OHV Commission of $36,862 to get some more equipment and gear for the officers for OHV enforcement, 490 enforcement. And I'm excited to get that program going up and running. Last year, if you remember, we got a side-by-side, and now we're just adding a couple of dirt bikes to the program. So that's basically all I have, unless you guys have any questions for me.
Thank you, Sheriff. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Ms. Sherman Mitchell?
Good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report. Moving on to the Fire Protection District.
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. We've got a couple agenda items. However, I just wanted to keep everyone abreast on our current position with our NV Energy contract. As of today, we still do not have an executed contract. So the staff that we have that's working under that We're going to divert those personnel to other grant obligations we have to continue our fuels mitigation work in the Highlands and around the area. So we'll keep them working, but expect another revised contract here in the near future, I hope. And that's all I have, and I'll take any questions.
Thanks, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments for the Chief?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
No questions. Thanks for the update, Chief.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to Public Works. Jason, you out there?
I have not seen you.
Oh, sorry. Chairman, Commissioners, Jason Wersbicki for the record. The snow this weekend was kind of interesting. We plugged right through it and was able to get town mucked out in a fairly timely manner and ready for the next wave. That's all I have at this point in time. I have an agenda item a little bit later.
Thanks for that, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jason?
Nice work, Jason. Thanks for all the support.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Moving on to Operations and Projects Coordinator, Mike Northern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Just two items to update the board today. Station 72 is at substantial completion. NV Energy was pulling the permanent power into the new building today. They got as far as they could, but due to voting, we cannot interrupt the power at that facility today, so we are going to be rescheduling that, looks like tentatively Friday. Item number two is Taylor Street. We do have all the insurance certs, the safety plan, stormwater runoff prevention plan, traffic control plan, all the required bonding. We will have a building permit by the end of week. And so the February 12th start date still stands, weather permitting. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thanks for that update, Mike. Before I go to questions, I just want to add that I was there for the walkthrough last week, and it's fantastic to see that project basically buttoned up. So thanks to everybody that had a hand in that. Looking forward to finally get our hands on our community center slash multi-purpose room. So with that, Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I'm good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Mike.
Thank you, sirs.
All right. We're going to move on to Honey Coughlin. One day I will figure out what your official title is. Thank you.
Hi, Honey Coughlin for the record. Regarding the lead siphon grant that I went out for with the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection, it is a principal forgiveness loan, and we were awarded that in the amount of $1,150,000, and this is for phase one of our lead siphon project, and that encompasses getting the preliminary engineering reporting and the environmental reporting complete. And the good news is that the board as a whole decided that they would like to fund all future projects and see this lead siphon through to the end of completion. And so if we break it down into five phases, the first phase being this preliminary work and then four phases of construction, we're looking at the next 4 years after this one, applying for principal forgiveness loans to get that entire lead siphon project finished. So that is very good news, because it has been a little over 3 years that I've been working to get funding for that project. So we are very pleased with that. We are moving forward with permitting for the fairgrounds electrical and water upgrades. And we are also moving through the permitting process with the Lockwood Senior Center. So happily, I'm glad to see both of those projects moving forward as well. And then currently at the moment, Laura Mather is in Washington, D.C., and she is going to be visiting with our delegates to talk about FY26's appropriations, FY25's appropriations request. So as soon as we get one set of projects moving, we still have a set of projects in holding, and then we're applying for another set of projects. So it's kind of an ongoing process with these appropriations requests. Currently, I have been working with all of the department heads and Comptroller McCain, as well as County Manager Osborne. We are fine-tuning the CIP for fiscal year 25, and we will be presenting that before the board for discussion on February 20th. And so we are getting very close to having that pretty well cemented. And that is the end of my report.
Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey?
I do not. Thank you very much, Honey.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't. That's a great report. Thanks.
Indeed. Thank you. Moving right along to emergency management.
Morning, Adam Wilson, Director of Emergency Management, for the record. A couple of updates. Our annual compliance to the State Emergency Response Commission from the Local Emergency Planning Committee has been completed and submitted. Looks like we've hit every level of compliance we need, which is good because that's where we get our grants for a lot of the operating materials at fire and SO. And hopefully those opportunities should be getting announced in the next month for the next grant cycle for them. Next, our courthouse mitigation window project is moving ahead again. We just had the vendor come out, do a second site walk, and they expect to be able to start work within the next 3 weeks to get the security film put in place on the windows as part of that earthquake mitigation. March 20th, we've sent out the invite already for the active assailant tabletop exercise. This has been a joint project between myself, the fire district, and the sheriff's office. Well, we've got a lot of planning going into this one. It should be a really good exercise, and we've already seen quite a few RSVPs to attend this. So this is going to be a really good opportunity to the county to really bolster that active assailant response. As everybody has seen, we're in a very active weather period right now. It's supposed to continue through Friday with some light hit or miss showers. So just a good reminder to prepare and make sure you have travel kits and all of that. And then finally, at the last meeting, I gave an update that our FEMA projects have been stalled with environmental since October. I worked with the leadership at FEMA, and since I was in contact with them, they have now moved every project but one through. So we're finally making some very quick product and progress on those projects. And with that, I will take questions.
Thank you for that report, Adam. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Adam?
I do not. Thank you, Adam.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thanks. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the report. Moving on to the VCTC.
Good morning. Todd Tuttle, Director of Tourism, for the record. The VCTC board meeting will be held this Thursday, February 8th at Piper's Opera House. There will not be a Zoom component to this meeting. It will be live only. We'll have the Devil Made Me Do It saloon crawl will come up on Friday or Saturday, February 10th. We've already sold more tickets in advance than we've sold before, so we're expecting a pretty good turnout, and the weather looks like it might cooperate with us. It will be from 12 o'clock noon until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Mix and Mingle will be on February 13th at Piper's Opera House. Starting at 6 o'clock, the Oyster Fry, the Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry on March 16th is all ready to go. We're already getting responses for cooks and participation in it. And a lot of the advertising campaigns are already beginning to trickle out. On a side note, Go West will be having their annual conference in South Lake Tahoe, of which we've volunteered to be a fam trip to bring a number of the clients over to Virginia City, chance to be able to expose Virginia City to, again, those international and national bus groups, trying to increase our bus awareness and coach awareness coming in. That's my report. I'll take any questions.
Thanks for that report, Todd. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Todd?
No questions. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell. Questions for Todd.
Todd, when's Go West happening?
I'm sorry?
When is Go West happening?
It will begin on the 27th of February and continue through the 1st of March. It will be at South Lake Tahoe.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that update, Todd. Moving right along to the Comptroller's Office.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. I have a couple things this morning. Some good news. Our ExecuTime time and attendance program is progressing nicely. We are currently at a point where we are able to release some departments from their employees processing two separate time cards, paper and electronic. As of the last pay period, we are no longer needing paper time cards from six offices: the clerk treasurer, recorder, senior center, assessors, DA, and IT departments. Over several pay periods, we have had no issues with these departments, and their paper time cards have matched perfectly with their electronic time cards. So I'm sure their employees are extremely happy to have one thing off their plate. We are hoping in the next subsequent payrolls to be able to start releasing more of our departments, and by hopefully before the end of the fiscal year, but by the end of the fiscal year, to have all departments solely on the electronic process. Then, as you know, we're in budget season, and that is moving along nicely. Departmental budgets are due to my office this Friday, and then we will move on to the committee review process, and we will have a tentative budget to the board on April 2nd for your approval. This tentative budget is due to taxation on April 15th. As always, our hope is to have the tentative budget as clean and close to the final budget as possible. So if anyone has any comments or questions, concerns, suggestions, please reach out to me sooner than later. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thanks for that report, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jennifer?
I have no questions. Thank you, Jennifer.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Moving on to the assessor's office. Do we have Jana with us today? All right. How about the recorder's office?
Good morning. I have nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Drew. How about the IT department?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. A couple of items. We're working on a new camera project for the Virginia City Swimming Pool. We're going to put six cameras in there. Also, we are adding cameras to the 5 Mile Reservoir to protect our drinking water supply. And finally, we're going to add some cameras to the park and gazebo. We should have all three of those projects wrapped up before June 1st. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Thanks for that update, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for James?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Good. Thank you.
All right. How about human resources? How about community development?
Good morning, Commissioners. No report today, but I have an agenda item a little bit later on here.
Thank you, Pete.
You bet.
How about the senior center?
Good morning, Stacy York, for the record. The senior center up in Virginia City is offering exercise classes every Thursday at Community Chest. They're from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We also have Heather Billings offering to do taxes for seniors. Call either senior center, Lockwood, or Virginia City to schedule those appointments. And tomorrow, Wednesday the 7th, we have a VA outreach program coming up here in Virginia City, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that is it today.
All right. Thanks for that update, Stacy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Stacy?
No questions. Thank you, Stacy.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. How about the district attorney's office?
And nothing today. I'm still so focused on that exercise program, Mr. Chairman, but I have nothing to add today at the senior center.
I was going to say I wasn't included in that memo.
No, the community chest that Stacy York just talked about sounds great, but I have nothing to report on my own.
All right. Thank you. How about the county manager's office?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. Just to let you know, the Linda Ritter's finishing up with Honey, as well as with the rest of the departments and elected officials on the strategic plan. And Honey and her are kind of working the capital improvement plan with the strategic plan. And so both of those documents should be ready for you, as Honey said in the earlier, for the 20th. Let you all know, we're still trying to come up with the right days for the town hall meetings in Lockwood and Mark Twain for us to discuss the county master plan update. We know it's going to be a Thursday evening. We're just trying to pick the right Thursday evening in February or possibly early March to get a kickoff going on there in concert with all of our schedules. And then I just want to thank Director Canfield, planning, and her team, also working with Washoe County, holding a town hall in Lockwood on the 25th regarding flood mitigation in the Lockwood community. It was really well attended and appreciate it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
No questions or comments. Thank you, Austin.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Nope. All right. Moving on to the Clerk Treasurer's Office.
Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer for Story County. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just today is Election Day. We have voting at our four polling centers, Lockwood at Fire Department 74, in the Highlands at Fire Department 72, and Mark Twain at the Community Center, and of course here in the Slammer. Just want to thank all the cooperation we got from the Fire Protection District, from the Senior Center Group, to allow us to get things arranged, and to Public Works in all the work they've done over the last 24 hours to make sure that there's access to our polling places. Thank you for all the work and all the help from everybody. That's it, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you very much for that update, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Jim?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman.
Yeah, I just want to take a moment to thank the poll workers. You know, this is probably going to be a fairly low turnout election. It's a brand new one in our schedule, and they're diligently there for the early voting and making sure the places are open in each of the precincts. And so really appreciate their work on this.
Indeed. Thank you. All right. Before we wrap up our updates, is there any department or nonprofit that I did not call on that has an update today? Please raise your hand. All right, not seeing any. We're going to wrap up our staff reports. Again, thank you for everybody and those reports. Much appreciated. We're going to move on to board comment today. I'm going to start off with Commissioner Gilman.
And nothing to new to add today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
I don't have anything at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to put a special thanks out to Public Works, again, for getting the roads clear. It was a pretty decent-sized storm. We got somewhere between 12 to 16 inches out in the Highlands. Roads are cleared. I heard no complaints about town, and the grade was in pretty good shape, too. So thanks to Public Works, especially keeping our buildings open, like the clerk said, and making sure our roads were covered as well. In addition to that, I'm going to ask for a moment of silence. Last week, we lost Nicole Skolkoff. She was a waitress over at the Palace Restaurant. Just an unfortunate incident. She's no longer with us. And for anybody else that may have passed away in the last week or so since our last meeting, if we can just take a moment of silence for Nicole and those folks, I'd greatly appreciate it. All right, moving along to item number 9. This is discussion only. Story County fiscal year 2024 second quarter budget versus actual review. Comptroller.
Good morning again. It's very rare that I get to go first. Jennifer McCain for the record. This is a review for the second quarter ending December 31st, 2023. I am happy once again to report that I don't have a whole lot to say. The majority of our revenues and expenses are trending as planned, and the bottom lines are looking really good. Our general fund revenue, I'm better in person, I guess. Approximately 80% of our budgeted revenues has been collected. This is due to still the front loading of the ad valorem property tax. All of our other revenue categories are trending at 50% collected or a slightly over, which is where we want to see them. Our expenses, all departments, and most of our funds are trending below or at the expected 50% usage, with a few of our funds trending at a higher usage due to the annual timing and some specific circumstances, but nothing is popping out as surprising at this time. Actually, I'll correct that. One surprise that we have are problem accounts such as gas, diesel, our building maintenance, auto maintenance, which are usually always trending over higher budget, are not. They are trending at or below budget across all departments and funds. At the close of the second quarter, wages and benefits are tracking in line with our expectations at the 50% level. Our service and supplies, we have a few line items that we are watching for possible augment. Some of these items have been brought before the board for approval, but I'd like to point out a couple that we are watching. Specifically, our postage accounts across all of our departments is possibly going to show up slightly over budget. That's due to the fourth quarter of last year being booked in this current year. It's explainable as at the end of the year, sometimes things get kind of a little bit crazy and small things, although still important, get mixed up in all of our processes. However, this was corrected as of the first quarter of the new year. As well, our second quarter GL was not processed as of December 31st to distribute all of these costs across all departments. The telephone budget in the clerk treasurer and the assessor's office is trending very high over budget. This is due to a expiring state contract where our fax lines were billed an exorbitant rate. To give you an example, 1 month in the assessor's office was billed $900 for a fax line we rarely use. This has since been corrected, but not reflected in the second quarter. As well, in the assessor's office, auto maintenance is trending slightly over budget. At the slightly is $194. However, if you look at the detail, this reflects that it's over budget 164%. I'm confident that this overage will be absorbed into the assessor's service and supplies objects. In the administrative department, office supplies is trending over budget significantly. This is because the administrative department purchases all of the printer paper for the majority of the county offices. And for some reason, over the past 6 months or so, paper usage has gone up quite a bit, which Brandy and I find kind of ironic since everyone's trying to go paperless, but that's where we are on that issue. Equipment maintenance in the admin budget is currently at 81% usage. This is due to elevator maintenance we were unaware of that needed to be performed every several years. So that's something we have our eye on and we'll be watching. In the sheriff's budget, enforcement supplies is over budget currently. This is because of invoices crossing fiscal years back in July, as well as the board approving the sheriff's office to go ahead and purchase much needed rifles, which were actually budgeted for this year, but we had to pay last year's bills. A few line items in the sheriff budget that we really don't have any control over. However, we try to get the budget as close as possible. These include inmate medical, which it's the jail's responsibility to provide medical and dental services for any inmates as long as provide their prescriptions. We're trending slightly high in this, and I don't really expect that to go down. It seems to be the current mode of some of our inmate and court department accounts. The insurance deductible in the sheriff's office is currently over budget 400%. Our current practice is to budget one deductible in everyone's insurance deductible line item. Currently, the sheriff's office has 5 claims pending, so that's why that's over budget. As well, their special investigations is currently at 105% of the 50% expected. This is one of those items that we can't control, and we just have to understand that they're doing their job, and we will augment or transfer this at the end of the year. I'm not sure if this is a current trend. However, again, most of our court funds and accounts are trending slightly over budget, with district courts investigations also over budget at approximately 164%. Our public defender accounts are between 80 and 300% usage, and justice court reporting is currently at approximately 83% usage. Justice court professional services is at 130% usage. However, this is due to the weekend stipend that the state established after our budgets were completed. And then yours truly, the comptroller's office, our professional services budget is currently at 84%, but that is due to one-time fees and reports that we have necessary at the beginning of the year. All of these overages are either approved by the board or approved by your county manager or myself. My general rule is I prefer that departments spend the money out of the accounts that they should be in. This gives us a clear picture of where we're going year to year and helps us, again, in the budgeting process to see where the shortfalls were. I am confident that we can cover all of these overages with transfers and augments at the end of the year, either within the specific departments or between departments and funds. With that, I'd like to give you a few highlights on our special revenue funds. Equipment acquisition, where we purchase all of our vehicles and equipment. For the first time in several years, we have actually been able to purchase all of our regular vehicles that we have needed in our current year and that have rolled from previous years. So that's a really nice place to be, is we needed vehicles. If we changed the type of vehicle, it was our needs changed, not because we had to take whatever was on their lot. As well, our small town plow and our additional snow blower are expected at the end of the month or the beginning of March. So everything in that fund that we have had planned is going to actually come to fruition for us, which is a nice, it took several years, but after COVID, we're hopefully finally there. Our capital projects fund is only at approximately 28% usage. This is due to a few of our large projects still being in the planning stages. This would be the Lockwood Community Center and the Fire Station 71. We are hoping to break ground on especially the Lockwood Senior Center. Plans are pretty much finalized, so hoping to break ground before the end of the year and continue into the next fiscal year. With the fire station, we're not quite as close, but it is shortly behind. With our roads department, this usage currently is only about 5%, but this fund, a majority of the projects actually do start in spring and then carry over. Our early fiscal year project, which was Electric Avenue, that was budgeted out of the capital projects fund, and that one has been completed. So with that, that's the end of my report. I just want to, again, give kudos to our department heads that are continuing to spend responsibly and pay attention to their budgets. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you for that update, Comptroller McCain. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jennifer?
No question. Just a sincere compliment for the great work that's being done out of that office. And thank you, Jennifer, very much.
Thank you.
Couldn't agree more, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions. Everything looks good. Thanks for the report, and specifically thanks for calling out those areas you're keeping an eye on.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank you. See you in a bit.
Let's move on. All right. See you in a bit. Let's move on to item number 10. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to consider letters of interest from applicants to serve on the VCTC board and to appoint a merchant representative to the VCTC board. Honey Coughlin.
Honey Coughlin, for the record. The Virginia City Tourism Commission is a county fair and recreation board that was created by Story County pursuant to NRS 244A.592. The Story County Board of County Commissioners appoints members to the VCTC for a two-year term as set forth in Resolution 13-384. Three letters of interest were received for the merchant board member position on the VCTC board. And I apologize if I butcher anyone's names prior, so I'm going to ask for forgiveness now. So Alexia Sober, Janice Oberding, and Gretchen Lavick. Interviews were conducted and all applicants showed an impressive background. Their engagement with the community and business district in Virginia City is noted and is greatly appreciated. Based on qualifications, experience, and knowledge, county staff recommends the appointment of Gretchen Lavick to the VCTC board. And as always, it is your decision, and I believe all three are present if you have any questions for them.
Thank you for that, honey. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments about this agenda item?
I do not, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions. I just want to express my sincere appreciation for these folks willing to step up. You know, in a small community, it really matters that people are willing to step up and offer their skills and their time to help guide the future of our community. And so I really appreciate that, the willingness to be part of it.
I agree. Sometimes it's hard to get good folks to put their name in. And I think this time we've had a good collection of very viable candidates. So is there any public comment at this time? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you ready to entertain a motion?
I am. In accordance with the recommendation by county staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to, I feel so bad. Could Gretchen maybe help me with the pronunciation of her last name?
It's Lavish.
Lavish, thank you so much. I wanted to get it right on the record. So in accordance with the recommendation by county staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to appoint Gretchen Lavish to serve as the merchant representative on the Virginia City Tourism Commission Board.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. And for our trusty minute taker, the last name is L-A-V-A-C-H. Moving on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to consider letters of interest from applicants to serve on the Virginia City Tourism Commission and to appoint a hotel representative to the VCTC board. Honey.
The Virginia City Tourism Commission is a county fair and recreation board created by Story County pursuant to NRS 244A.592. The Story County Board of County Commissioners appoints members to the VCTC for a two-year term as set forth in Resolution 13-384. Two letters of interest were received for the hotel board member position on the VCTC board. Jill Clough and Paul Hoyle. Interviews were conducted and both applicants showed an impressive background. Their engagement with the community and business district in Virginia City and Gold Hill is noted and is greatly appreciated. And based on qualifications, experience, and knowledge of the Virginia City Tourism Commission, county staff recommends the reappointment of Paul Hoyle to the VCTC board. That is the end of my report.
Thank you, honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions either. Again, I just want to express my appreciation for both of these folks for stepping up and being willing to serve.
Agreed. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yes, sir. In accordance with the recommendation by county staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to reappoint Paul Boyle to serve as the hotel representative on the Virginia City Tourism Commission Board.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations to those who were appointed to the board, and a special thank you for everybody that did apply for that available position. Truly appreciate everybody's efforts. On to item number 12, this is discussion for possible action to authorize the county manager to approve an amendment to the Tyler annual software contract for ERP PRO, previously approved in the 23-24 budget. Community development is moving from a fire-based system to a building-based permitting and inspection system. An increase of approximately $2,148 is anticipated for this software. A prorated refund is expected from the fire-based system. Once the new system is up and working, the amended increase should be covered by the prorated refund from the fire-based system. Honey?
Mr. Chairman, this one's going to be presented by Ashley Mead and by Pete Renault.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Sorry, Pete or Ashley?
Pete Renault for the record. Yeah, this was a new system that we got a few years ago. And at the time, we were told there was no building permitting and inspection term because we were talking to a fire-related guy that wanted to sell his product. So essentially what we're doing is we're cutting our task in the office of permitting and inspections in about half. It's just going to simplify things. We had to build everything in the fire system. So the increase is just to get our information over from the fire-based system to the building-based system. So it's just basically to ease our workload when we're inputting permits. With the fire-based system, we can't do certain permits. We have to be creative, and building already has all of this built into it, the building-based system.
Wonderful. Sounds like it'll help streamline an already efficient department. So thanks for that, Pete. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Pete?
I do not. This is a great move. Thank you, Pete.
Yep. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I'm good to go. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? All right. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the authorization for the county manager to approve an amendment to the Tyler annual software contract for ERP Pro, in-code permitting, and mobile inspections for community development, construction permitting, and inspections.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, commissioners.
All right, moving on to item number 13, recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 14, which is discussion only. So Water and Sewer Fiscal Year 2024 Second Quarter Budget versus Actual Review. Comptroller McCain, you're up again.
Good morning again. Jennifer McCain for the record. Again, I'm happy to report that the water and sewer funds are where we expect to see them, with 50% of the year behind us. Charges in water, which is their main revenue, is approximately at 55% collected. Sewer is at approximately 51% collected. We pay close attention to charges for services because the water and sewer funds are expected to be able to operate with the rates from the ratepayers. So this is a good trend. We're seeing rates slowly climb up and be able to cover the operating expenses. So which brings up expenses. They are continuing to watch and be conservative with their spending. Bottom line for the water in service and supplies is approximately 35% usage, and the sewer is approximately at 31% usage. Their wages and benefits are trending slightly higher of the 50%, but we kind of expected that with some changes that went on there. We will continue to, as usual, keep an eye on both of these funds to ensure that they continue to get where their operational revenues cover their operational expenses. That's all I have.
Thank you for that, Jennifer. Commissioner Gumman, do you have any questions or comments for Jennifer?
Positive report. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Indeed. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have anything. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any, we're going to move right along to item number 15, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Highway Board, bringing us to item number 16, which is discussion only, report of the Public Works Department regarding roads and highways in Story County. Jason.
Afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Worsbicky for the record. As stated earlier, you know, we've been prepping and trying to improve our responses to the storms lately and tweaking little things here and there, and it seems to be working somewhat so far. We're getting everybody's input that we can and just improving where we can. Another thing, we're full steam ahead on doing the parking lot behind the Justice Court. We're hauling in road base today, start building that back up to level. We are almost complete with the road CIP. We're having a meeting this afternoon at Dow to go over and finalize some things before we get that finished up. And then we're almost finished with engineering with Laughstown. See where we're at on that one. It's trending right now at about 5 to 5.5 million. That's all I have.
Thanks for that, Jason. Wish that number was a little lower, but that road will finally get fixed. It'll be nice to see that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jason?
No comments. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any comments either. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Any public comment? Not seeing any, we're going to move right along to item number 17 on today's agenda, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Liquor Licensing Board, bringing us to item number 18, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the first reading of the on-sale liquor license. The applicant is Paul Peter Remneff, at Howdy's Grub, located at 5 North C Street, Unit B, Virginia City, Nevada.
Good morning, Commissioners.
No problem.
Kern for the record. Mr. Paul Peter Remnoff has submitted an application. We've completed our investigation and found no disqualifiers.
All right. Thank you for that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Sheriff Cullen, anything?
Nothing. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first reading of the on-sale liquor license. The applicant is Paul Peter Remneff. Howdy's Grub, located at 5 North C Street, Unit B, Virginia City, Nevada.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right, motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 19 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Moving on to item number 20, which is discussion only. Fire District Fiscal Year 2024 Second Quarter Budget versus Annual Review.
Good morning again. Jennifer McCain for the record. With 50% of the year behind us, as of December 31st, 2023, the fire district budget is looking at or better than what we expect. Their general fund revenues are collected at approximately 63%, which the majority of that is ad valorem, and we expect that to level out in the next two quarters. Expenses in the fire district general fund is tracking at approximately 35% usage in all its categories, and we expect this trend to continue. However, there will be some additional spending in the third and fourth quarter as Chief Lonkar keeps his budget pretty tight under wraps the first two quarters and then starts to see where things are going. One fund I'd like to point out to you is their capital projects fund, which is currently at usage of 7%. We really do not expect this to change much as the majority of the fire apparatus and engines, ambulances that have been budgeted over the years continue to roll forward. And at this time, I have no delivery dates on the horizon. So we will continue to roll those. That's all I have for the fire district, unless anyone has any questions for me.
Thank you for that, Jennifer. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
I have no questions, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Thank you again for that, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right, on to item number 21, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of an updated interlocal agreement for regional hazardous materials emergency response within Douglas County, Lyon County, Carson City, and good old Story County.
Yes, Commissioners, Jeremy Lonkar again for the record. I'm going to go ahead and let Assistant Chief Jim Morgan go ahead and take this one. He was served as the lead of this Quad County team for some time and recognized these updates and has worked with all our regional partners in getting this document up to speed. So I'll let Jim take it from here.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jim Morgan, Assistant Fire Chief for the record. Just a couple of updates on our interlocal agreement. The Quad County was formed back in the mid-90s and really not getting updated very much in the last few years. Only a few changes we made to it is we changed our commitment level from one hazardous materials technician to two to better provide more service to our neighbors in the Quad County. And the second change was we adopted the International Fire Service Accreditation Congress as a certification towards hazmat technician. Other than that, it's pretty much stands as forward with our equipment and our needs and how we support our partners. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Fire Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell.
I have no questions. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for your work on this and thanks, Chief, for the update.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any public comment, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the updated interlocal agreement for hazardous materials emergency response within the Quad Counties and authorize the Fire Chief to sign.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 22, this is discussion for possible action, discussion and possible approval of the final fiscal year 2025 through 2029 Story County Fire Protection District Capital Improvement Plan, including facilities and infrastructure, plans and studies, staffing and equipment and vehicles.
Yes, Commissioner, again, Jeremy Lonkar for the record. So we can kind of take this however the board would like me to present it. I included in all your packets what our CIP looks like with staffing, vehicles, equipment, and the purchases we intend on trying to make in this upcoming budget year. Keep in mind these numbers are our best estimates at the time, as we've seen through just rapid inflation and obviously supply chain demands and changes. We're not getting the stuff. We still have multiple engines on order. We do have the money sitting in, as Comptroller McCain I mentioned, we still have the money sitting in our capital improvement fund. However, we're just still waiting for all these items to come in. With that being said, Chairman, I can go through kind of the highlights of it or just give you a real big overview and take any questions you may have.
Thanks, Chief. I'm okay with an overview. Fire Commissioner Gilman, are you okay with the same?
I am. Thank you.
All right. Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
Yeah, that's fine with me as well. I looked it over. Happy to just get the summary.
Okay. Agreed.
And very good. I'm sorry, Commissioner. Most of this we've discussed is as far as like the staffing concerns and where we want to go. And I really want to focus more on the equipment. It's important that looking at our capital improvement plans these days, it isn't much like it were years ago where we kind of put it on there. We set the money aside. We expect delivery of that item within that budget year. We're still many years out. So I'd really like the board to kind of view this as more of a three-year plan. But it's important to get those commitments made now. Type 1 engines can run between 48 to 72 months for delivery. They're just so backlogged on equipment. Costs continually rise, and we're just waiting so long for it. So it was important to kind of capture not just our needs of present day, but where our needs are going forward as well, at least into the next year, possibly the third year. Of all the items outlined under 2024-2025, I anticipate that we'll approximately spend about $550,000, and that's about it. The rest of it's going to come, you know, in the subsequent budget years afterwards. Vehicles right now have gotten a lot better. We're able to get what we want in a reasonable time frame as long as we can get our name on that list. But again, the big engine stuff, the fire apparatus is taking multiple years to get. So if we can lock in now, which I'll get more definitive numbers come our tentative budget, one program that one of our vendors has here is that we can sign up now. We do not have to pay for it until it is delivered, and it locks us into the current pricing. So versus waiting and possibly paying for that Type 1 engine 3 years down the road at, again, more inflated rates, we're able to lock that in now. So it is making a commitment for these purchases. However, we keep our costs down and get our name on the list. So that's where we're at with most of the equipment. Again, staffing, kind of our big push is getting everyone under the district umbrella and expanding our services. Those three additional firefighters would come in at Station 71, which is our second busiest district. That will allow us to keep a captain in the area, so we're not unmanned during times of transports or if they're committed to other emergencies within the county. And I'll take any questions you may have or again, continue with further detail or move for the approval of the presented CIP.
Appreciate that, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any further questions or concerns?
No, I'm comfortable with the presented CIP. Thank you.
We went through an area where it was reasonable, and we put in some numbers based off of construction cost estimates. And then as we knew, it blew up. It went extremely expensive. Kind of from the industry, what we're seeing right now is things are slowing down a little bit, so they're getting a little cheaper. I guess that's really just our regional impacts and the growth. Because with more growth, contractors get harder to get and they throw higher prices at things. You know, if you want them to come work on your stuff, you're going to pay for it. I think that those are fairly reasonable costs for now. The $10 million mark, we took and added a little bit to a fire station that we have been working with Redwood Materials on and getting some conceptuals done as well as cost construction estimates. And they're sitting around between $7 to $8 million. So knowing that when we might be able to pull the trigger on these, $10 million seems fairly reasonable now. And I know that's excessive, but unfortunately, it's the kind of the world we live in.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate the explanation. I'm good.
All right. Is there any public comment? All right. Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the final fiscal year 25 through 29 Story County Fire Protection District Capital Improvement Plan, or CIP, including facilities and infrastructure, plans and studies, staffing and equipment and vehicles.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Moving on to item number 23. This is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 24. Discuss and consider authorizing the county manager to sign and approve a contract between Story County and Lakota HRM LLC commencing February 6, 2024 and ending June 30, 2025 in an amount of $95 an hour, not exceeding 600 hours on an as-needed basis for the purpose of providing prescribed human resource services, including labor relations, independent administrative investigations, union contract negotiations, and other related services. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. What we're asking here is Lakota HRM LLC. This is Jeannie Green. We would like to have her contract go for another year and a half. She's been working with the HR office on these elements. Fortunately, labor relations has been pretty smooth, but there's still some contract negotiations that happen with unions. As you're aware, there's some elements dealing with memorandums of understanding with the union contracts. And if we were to run into any administrative investigations, labor relations kinds of matters, she would continue to provide services to our team on an independent basis in order to be impartial and be able to look at those situations. So in this case, she would be providing these services for Story County, Story County Fire Protection District, and the Virginia City Tourism Commission under our interlocal agreements. And you see the amounts there. 600 hours would be a not to exceed. So it could be 0 hours or up to 600. It's probably about the equivalent of a quarter time worth of staff if you were really to look at it hour by hour if we used it all. So happy to answer any questions, but appreciate your time.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about this agenda item?
I do not. I'm in support of the item. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions either, but, you know, Jeannie has done an exceptional job for us, and I'm glad to see that she's willing to stick around for another year and a half. With that said, is there any public comment? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve authorizing the county manager to sign and approve a contract between Story County and Lakota HRM LLC commencing February 6, 2024 and ending June 30th, 2025 in an amount of $95 per hour, not exceeding 600 hours on an as-needed basis for the purpose of providing prescribed human resources services, including labor relations, independent administrative investigations, union contract negotiations, and other related services.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 25, discussion for possible action. Per Commissioner Gilman's request, discussion and consideration directing county officials to proceed with the necessary research about procedures, including but not limited to providing conditional offers, cooperative efforts, and taking necessary governing action, and to bring findings and recommendations back to the board for consideration to establish easements or right-of-ways for a public road, utilities, or and other associated county public infrastructure on portions of land located at Assessor's Parcel Number 004-154-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0- 26-27, owned by Solar Farms LLC, parcel number 004-151-06, Virginia Highlands LLC, and or parcel number 004-211-06, NV Uplands LLC, and other properly related matters.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Lance Gilman here to do a brief introduction and discussion. I would go back historically a bit, and approximately 12 years ago, Story County was successful in a litigation action on a large ranch called the Corta Vista Ranch. It was considered to be a residential project. And the county, not wanting major residential of that size, entered litigation, and it was successful. And during that litigation and resolving, the property, approximately 8,000 acres, was identified as industrial or industrial complex property. Fast forwarding to current times, it represents a large and critical component for the continued success, growth, and development in the industrial sector in our Story County. And it's come to my attention that it would be important at this time to ensure that we have adequate access into that property, and that it would be timely to have our staff review where we stand, and how we as leadership in the community can ensure the orderly development at some point in the future with the Corta Vista Ranch, also known as the TRW project. It would be suggested that if we look historically at the development of the USA Parkway, when the decision was made by the county at the time to have a major arterial access, it accessed from Highway 80 on the north all the way to Highway 50, and it goes without saying that we have seen some tremendous growth within Story County because of the decisions of ensuring access into those properties. As a point of interest, perhaps, is the TRW property, the Corta Vista Ranch property, is not easily accessed from the west. That would take a road or highway development coming up the grade, significant topography, out of the Reno market and across the Mesa and toward the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Another access point that has had possibilities and some uses in the past was the highway access from Interstate 80 through Lockwood. But once again, major topography elements for accessing the Corta Vista Ranch property, primarily focused on industrial uses, climbing major grades with industrial equipment, 18-wheeler truck access, or other access for industrially based vehicle traffic doesn't work well or nearly as well if you're facing major topography and grades, and especially in a community that that has some snow now and then. I think that maybe we're all sensing the impact of something like that right now in Virginia City and other areas. So the practical access, if you will, for our future development of our TRW product will come out of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. If the access is off of Peru Drive, which exists today, the topography is such that it would readily access the 8,000 development acres in our future. So I would ask my fellow commissioners to join me, if you would please, in asking our staff to take a in-depth and detailed look at those access points. And are we prepared at this point to ensure adequate access for utilities and roadway and et cetera to enhance and certainly ensure the future developability of our industrially zoned property. So with that, I would be pleased to answer any questions as we move forward considering this agenda item.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments at this point?
No, I don't have any specific questions. You know, I haven't spent a lot of time in the interior of the county. I've always kind of considered it the dark heart of Story County. And I certainly see the wisdom in looking at ways to ensure access as development pressure continues and as we look towards orderly growth in the future. So I appreciate, Commissioner Gilman, appreciate you bringing this to our attention.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that park is unique for so many different reasons. And obviously having access issues would create serious problems possibly down the road. So, you know, I definitely do support you bringing this to the commission. Is there any public comment at this time? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county officials to proceed with necessary research about procedures, including but not limited to providing conditional offers, cooperative efforts, and taking necessary governing action, and to bring findings and recommendations back to the board for consideration to establish easements or right-of-ways for a public road, utilities, and other associated county public infrastructure on portions of land located at assessor's parcel numbers, APN numbers 004-154-27, owned by Solar Farms, LLC, 004-151-06, owned by Virginia Highlands, LLC, and or 004-211-06, owned by Nevada Uplands, LLC, and other properly related matters.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 26, this is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration for approval and a negotiated 10-year franchise agreement between Story County and Waste Management, Inc., DBA Story County Sanitation, for the collection of solid waste and recyclables in Story County. I believe Joe's going to take this.
Yeah, good morning, Chairman Carmona. And am I on?
You are loud and clear, my friend.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, at your January 16th meeting, we reviewed the results of the competitive procurement process that has been managed by the county. And as a result of those findings, you as a commission directed us to go and negotiate last, best, and final terms with Waste Management, which we immediately undertook. And I can say that I think we've had a very favorable result of those final negotiations. As noted previously, the two companies that remained in competition, we believe offered extraordinary offers and opportunities for the county. Waste Management's proposal was just a hair better at the final scoring of the proposals. And now, as a result of the final negotiations, we believe that the county has been able to accomplish everything that it set out to do through this procurement process. And I'll just give you the highlights, the big pieces of the final negotiation. Waste Management has agreed that within 1 week of execution of the contract, they will order those special service vehicles that are needed in order to service the difficult to service areas during inclement weather periods. They've agreed to order those and then also to deploy them immediately upon delivery of those vehicles to waste management. And that may be and probably will be well in advance of the commencement of this new project or this new contract, which will be December of this year. As soon as those vehicles come in, they've agreed to deploy them even under this kind of final few months of the existing contract. Regarding the vouchers, the voucher system, the company has agreed to issue 3,500 vouchers to the county for the county's distribution to residents throughout the county, and that those would be managed by the county. And if additional vouchers are needed, as demonstrated by the county, the company has agreed to provide those. Then we ask for a reduction in the commercial rates. Waste Management's commercial rates, as originally proposed, were already the lowest of the three bidders that originally proposed. We ask for them to reduce those rates by 3.5%, which represents just about 25% of their originally projected profit in the project, and they agreed to do so. They have lowered those commercial rates by 3.5%. The disposal rate has also been lowered by about 20% for the temporary bins and for the roll-off, the roll-off bins, which represents a significant savings to their originally proposed rates for roll-off service. They have reduced the senior rate that they proposed originally by 10%, and they have reduced the low-income senior rate by 30%. Those are the things that we ask for, and I can say that Waste Management was quick to respond to those requests. And there were only two items that remained outstanding in the package that you have for this meeting. And those were in Section 11 of the agreement. They had to do with language regarding indemnification, and then a second section in Section 11, language regarding insurance. Waste Management proposed alternative language, and after the county's review and some amendment on the county's part as well, and of course the county attorney can speak for themselves, but it's my understanding that those issues have been favorably resolved and that the contract as you have it, with minor changes that still have to be made, like some dates have to be inserted and that type thing. Plus, we need to add their proposal on to the end of the contract. We need to add their MOU, whereby they've agreed to these items I've just described. Those things need to be added to the final document before circulation and execution. But I would just say this. At the beginning of this process, and I don't know if you will recall, but I warned you not to expect through this procurement process what you normally get in a procurement process, which is through competition, you normally get a reduction in rates. And early on, I told you not to expect that, and there were several reasons for it. But at the time, it was before we began this galloping inflation that we've experienced during the last 18 months or 12 months, I should say. But there were already some pressures on Waste Management, and I don't mean the company Waste Management, I mean the industry Waste Management, particularly the cost of vehicles and the cost of the carts and dumpsters because of the cost of steel and the cost of crude oil that go into making plastic, that go into making the carts. We have seen in the last 2 years an exponential increase in the capital costs for those you know, critical needs for servicing the community. And I expected to see significantly increased rates. Well, that didn't happen. As a result of what I've just described here, all the rates, residential and commercial, are going to be offered, provided at lower rates than your current rates. So every rate for bin service, every rate for residential, and all of your roll-off and temporary bin rates will be provided at lower cost, which by our recent experience in other communities is pretty remarkable. So with that, I'm ready to answer any of your questions.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question of Joe before Q&A?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
All right, Joe, do you mind explaining just a little bit? There were a couple other elements regarding the Lockwood dump vouchers for the Canyon GID folks that are outside of the franchise, the transfer station operation, and the audit.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned, there were a couple of minor issues Mr. Osborne noted that needed clarification in the document that you have before you. I was able to interact with Waste Management this morning before this meeting to gain their agreement on these things, but they are minor, but I'll recite them. In the language regarding the use of the vouchers, the language as it currently stands just cites Story County. It says all residents of Story County will be able to secure vouchers for use of the transfer stations. And that would be the Virginia City Station, as well as the Dayton Station. There needs to be clarification and I would say specificity that includes the Lockwood community as it's currently served under a separate agreement in the Canyon General Improvement District by Waste Management. Those folks in the Lockwood community have enjoyed the use of these vouchers, and by agreement this morning with Waste Management, they'll be able to continue to do so. We just need to add to that section where we say Story County, we need to say including Lockwood community. So that's one. As it regards the transfer station, the agreement requires for the company to operate the transfer station. It does not specify the current conditions that the station will be open at least 3 days per week, and one of those 3 days will be a weekend day, either Saturday or Sunday. That needs to be clarified in the agreement that you have in hand, and Waste Management has agreed to that. And then the final issue was just an audit date that's listed in Section 8.12. And we just need to make sure that audit date is not in conflict at all with other provisions in the contract. And Waste Management has agreed to that as well. So aside from the two issues that I previously mentioned that were resolved, the indemnification and insurance language, these issues also were resolved before the commencement of the meeting this morning.
Austin, you have any further questions for Joe before I move on?
Not yet. No, thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Joe. I do just want to clarify one other thing. So basically, once this contract is signed, Waste Management is going to go ahead and purchase those trucks. Is that correct? I'll call them High Country Service trucks.
Yes, they specified the trucks that they proposed in the agreement, in their original proposal. They will order two F600 4x4 8 cubic yard body vehicles within 1 week of execution of the contract.
Wonderful. Did you happen to note, or did they state how long it would take those trucks to actually get here?
I did not.
Okay. That's all right. All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Joe at this point?
You know, I do. I'd like to put on the record how proud I am of our county staff and the negotiating skills that they have utilized in representing us, and the incredible effort, research and commitment, unparalleled in many ways, changing our approach, certainly, encouraging competitive bidding, certainly, and I'm very proud of our staff. And it goes without saying that the folks that were hired, that came in to represent our staff and to represent our efforts in putting together a competitive a culture, if you will, for us all to work from. We certainly chose well, and I'm personally grateful for the efforts that they have put in. And probably most importantly to me at this moment, I want to compliment and reach out to Waste Management. They're certainly known as the forerunner of their industry nationally, and I've had experience with the Waste Management team in other markets, and their success and their performance is unparalleled. But I specifically want to point out that we as the Story County leadership wanted to find a very competitive, professional approach to all of our collection efforts. And of course, our county represents some specific challenges, topography challenges and elevation challenges, and many others. And I must say that Waste Management stepped to the plate. They were certainly counted, and not only did they approach us with a professional attitude, but they've actually made our county operation very competitive. They were sensitive, they were direct, and they certainly answered the call. So I'm very proud to say that we are associated with Waste Management in all of these collection efforts. And thank you for this opportunity, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, wonderful statement, Commissioner Gilman. I echo your sentiments. You know, it's been a very interesting process. And I think all the county residents and staff should be proud. I think we got a very good agreement on our hands. Obviously, I look forward to those high country trucks. It'll be nice to see those out and about. But I agree. I think we, you know, mission accomplished. So thanks to Joe. Thanks to those on our staff. Obviously, to my fellow commissioners for, giving Waste Management the opportunity. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything at this time, sir?
Just one or two things, and I also want to echo those sentiments. I appreciate the extra work that's gone into making sure that the process was good and conducted well, and not absolutely perfect, but the end result is very positive for the residents and the businesses in our county. The first question that I have is, I was just hoping to get confirmation from the DA's office that their understanding matches Joe's as far as resolution on those outstanding issues, which I don't have any reason to doubt. I just want to make sure that everyone's on the same page there. And then my only other question after that, as we're about to cross the finish line, is for my fellow commissioners, if we're comfortable with the franchise fee at 8%, I know we talked about that back and forth quite a bit. Seems like this is probably our opportunity if we want to look at reducing or even eliminating, which may be a radical way to go, but that's something that I would be interested in discussing. So thank you.
Thank you for that, Vice Chairman. I'm gonna let DA Langer field this.
I'll start out. So first of all, is in regarding the indemnification language and the insurance language, I know that Brian Brown got together with Mr. Sloan, and so he will take that part of this presentation. The only thing, if you are going to approve that in your motion today, I would just have the person making the motion add to the motion to put in the motion that the amendments as described by Mr. Sloan today, those are additions to the existing motion. So take it away, Brian.
Thank you. With regard to the specific amendments that were mentioned regarding the insurance and indemnification, as Mr. Sloan represented, there was an initial proposal in the contract, there was a counter proposal, and we have went back and massaged the language in both of those sections to the agreement of both parties. And it just needs to be completed as stated, and it should be covered completely with D.A. Langer's description to the amendment to the motion if the board chooses to make such motion.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Brian. Touch on Vice Chairman Mitchell's suggestion, if I understand correctly, that franchise fee, if we were to reduce that fee, is that a direct savings for, first, are we allowed to do that at this point? And if we are, then the question would be, does that translate to savings for the customers?
So,
Joe?
I can't answer the question as to you're allowed to do that. I can answer this. You're still under your old agreement. The new agreement doesn't commence until December, or December of this year. The rates as they are currently proposed include an 8% franchise fee. If you were to reduce those to 5%, you would see a 3% reduction in the rates that are proposed right now. So it would be a direct savings to the ratepayer. So that's that. And as it's my understanding, or at least it's been the case in all the other jurisdictions that we've worked in, that those franchise fees are at the discretion of the commissioners. And you can change those whenever you'd like. I mean, you may have some stipulations or regulations that I'm not aware of in Story County, but in most jurisdictions, those things can be changed mid-contract. They have no impact upon the contractor whatsoever. Their rates are their rates. Whenever they get a rate adjustment on an annual basis, it's the base rate that is adjusted. And so the franchise fee is not affected. So you can change that at any time you'd like with, of course, deference to your counsel.
Thank you for that, Joe.
And the short answer to that is yes. And if Brian wants to add anything just to give just more background on it, Brian, go ahead.
Yes, D.A. Langer is correct. Yes, you're able, and Mr. Sloan described it correctly. It is within the discretion of the board as to what those franchise fees are going forward, and so it's certainly within the board's discretion to reduce those amounts.
So again, to make sure on that, Chairman Carmona, if there is going to be a reduction, I believe that that should be part of the motion also, correct?
Indeed. Yep, just wanted to clarify. Appreciate Joe, Brian, and thank you. To touch on Commissioner Mitchell's suggestion, obviously my end goal would be to reduce costs for the businesses and the residents of our county. Therefore, I have no heartache with, subtracting or lessening the franchise fee or possibly eliminating it in its entirety. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any thoughts on that right now?
The first thought that comes to mind is we move forward and approve this contract that we have before us, knowing that we could take the next month or so and have our decision to reduce the franchise fees. It strikes me we might want to look at eliminating the franchise fees. but I would I'd prefer to have a little more staff research and background to really understand the dynamics and the impacts to the county if we were to do such a thing. So I would propose we approve the contract as stands, with the idea that we will visit the franchise fee component in the next 30 days or so.
That works for me. County Manager Osborne, go ahead. Hold on one sec, Joe. County Manager Osborne, I'm assuming that no numbers have been run to answer Commissioner Gilman's questions now.
Commissioner Gilman, Austin Osborne, and our comptroller is on as well. We did some preliminary numbers using the existing franchise. I believe it was around $500,000 a year. But with the new numbers, we could revisit those, take a look at them, and per Commissioner Gilman's request, within 30 or 60 days, whatever you desire, have some numbers back to you that are reliable and are tied to this contract, and then allow the board then to make a decision. It's up to you.
Okay. Joe, you were going to chime in with something?
Yes. As part of finalizing the agreement that will be circulated for execution, we will need to include the rate tables as currently proposed, unless you take action. If you take action today to change it, we could reflect that. But there's no hurry to do it. You just need to know that the agreement will be executed with the rates that include the 8% franchise fee, and then you have as much time as you'd like to take to change that, which will just mean an amendment to the contract, which will only be the insertion of new rate tables to support the new franchise fee, whatever decision you make down the road. So we will need to circulate the agreement with the rate tables in there. And then if you make changes later down the road, we can amend those.
Mr. Chairman, if yeah. I may, I like the thought of that suggestion, because if we were to wait, the tables are to come out, the adjusted tables will carry the message to everyone in the county that we're benefiting about how much benefit that there would be. And it seems to me that that might be a prudent course of action.
So just to clarify, we will wait to look at the reduction, or are you now considering the elimination of the franchise fee today?
I would wait to look at the reduction, let the tables come out as they are, and in the next 30, maybe 60 days, whatever is practical for staff, we would then be able to show empirically the result and how it benefits everyone in the county. Otherwise, if it's done blanket today, we really aren't going to see necessarily the results of our actions.
Makes total sense to me, Commissioner Gilman. I appreciate it. Joe, you put your hand up one more time.
Yes, just to say that the rates, as they will be published currently with the 8% franchise fee, will reflect a reduction in the current rates for everybody in the county, residential and commercial. So
right.
Even with the 8% franchise fee, you're going to see a reduction, and it can be more, of course, but everybody will recognize immediately that their rates are going to go down under the new contract.
I think that's going to be a wonderful gift for our residents, and it's something that this commission group has been wanting to offer for some time, so certainly is appealing from my chair.
Yeah, makes total sense. So, Commissioner, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions before I go to the public?
No, I think that's a prudent course of action. Thank you for suggesting it, Commissioner Gilman.
All right, is there any public comment regarding this item? Yes, I believe Terry Bentley has his hand up.
Can you hear me, Chairman?
Loud and clear, sir.
Well, first of all, this is Terry Bentley, General Manager, Nevada Recycling and Salvage. While we did not win and we weren't successful in this process, I think Story County businesses and residents were. You guys conducted a very professional procurement here. We'd like to thank all involved in this fair and professional process. Thanks again for the opportunity, and appreciate everyone's coordination in this procurement. Thanks again.
Appreciate your comments, Mr. Bentley. And as I said at the meeting prior, very pleased. You should all be pleased with yourselves. I think, as you said, it was a fantastic process. There's always got to be a winner and a loser. But your comments today show your true character, and I really appreciate that. Is there any other public comment today? All right, not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, are you prepared to make a motion?
I think I am. If I could maybe ask D.A. Langer to just indulge me by repeating what she said about the motion and elements to include these kind of final few points.
Sure. Commissioner, I'm looking at my notes, Commissioner Mitchell. So I think all you really need to do is, in addition to the motion that you have before you, is to include the words and also the amendments described by Mr. Sloan.
Perfect.
I mean, you can obviously include.
Just include the amendment set forth by Mr. Sloan. You can say involving the Lockwood GID, the landfill, and the audit. And if Mr. Sloan, you want to set forth those amendments again, so we have them on the record.
Sure.
Commissioner sure. Mitchell, and then you can either figure out that you want to use each one of those examples, or you can just use the blanket statement, the amendments as provided by Mr. Sloan.
Mr. Sloan, before you move forward, is there any other public comment? All right, just double checking. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so I won't pretend to be an amendment maker, but or a motion maker, but I will just say this. The language that you have before you, the agendized language, plus recognition of the indemnification and insurance requirements, that those factors have been resolved, and that the three outstanding issues regarding the inclusion of Lockwood community in the voucher program, the days of operation for the Virginia City Transfer Station, and the audit date as set forth in section 8.12 will all be amended as described.
So Vice Chair Mitchell, the indemnification and the insurance issues were already taken care of, so they don't need to be included in it. It's just the three issues that had been talked about this morning that resolved regarding Lockwood, the landfill, and the audit.
Okay, so the proposed agreement that we were presented with include those resolutions on 11-8 and 11-11, or should I just mention them just in case?
You can, if you feel more comfortable with that. Either way, it makes it clear when somebody goes back to look at it in the actual motion itself, and they don't have to necessarily go to see what Mr. Sloan actually said. So indemnification and the insurance, my understanding is those are already clarified, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So it's only the transfer station, the Lockwood language, and the audit date.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the negotiated 10-year franchise agreement between Story County and Waste Management, Inc., DBA Story County Sanitation, for the collection of solid waste and recyclables in Story County, to include the amendments and updating that reflect agreements on voucher availability countywide to include Lockwood, transfer station days of operation, and the audit date as addressed in section 8.12.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Should we have included the part about the franchise agreement? Now that we're all done.
I think, you know, so the contract is written includes the 8% franchise agreement. But if you'd like, I can make a separate motion to bring that, to ask staff to bring that back for reconsideration.
We're looking at all these spaces. Is that good? Okay.
I think we can, just so
it's on the record.
Right. I think that works as far as there's your motion, and then you can either add it to that particular motion, or as you say, Vice Chair Mitchell, you can just basically say that that you want staff in a separate motion to look into the franchise fee and bring that back to the board for a possible amendment at a later date.
Great. So, Mr. Chairman, if it's all right, under this same agenda item, I'll make a separate motion to instruct staff to prepare some analysis on the impact of changing the franchise fee and bring that back to us at a regularly scheduled meeting within the next 60 days.
Right there. Wonderful. Dick on our side, Austin Osborne for the record.
All right. So there's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Again, thank you to Joe Sloan and his organization. Thank you to staff. Thank you to Kendra over at Waste Management. Thank you to Mr. Terry Bentley over at Nevada Recycling and Salvage. We can consider this one closed.
Well, just do me a favor, because there were two separate motions, and for the record in the minutes, it's always reflected to the second motion that Vice Chair Mitchell had made about bringing it back, just because it was considered a separate motion. If you could just vote on that itself also.
Did we not just do that?
Well, you did the first. Did you do the, I thought that was.
We did the first motion, which was the agenda language.
Okay.
And then we just did a second motion to do the franchise.
Then don't mind me.
Fair enough. Go back on mute, ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. How about we call a quick 5-minute break? Everybody good with that? Nodding heads? Yes. All right. We'll take a 5-minute break, and we will see you all back here around 11:55.